built this city.
Starship, and we built this city.
We built this city on rock and roll.
Just one of over 3,000 fantastic hits. You'll hear artists like Pablo Cruz, the Pointer Sisters, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, Whitney Houston, Elton John, Madonna, Michael Bolton, Rolling Stone, and the hits just keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, 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 keep on coming. Waiting for a Star to Fall by Boy Meets Girl. Rick Springfield. Over 3,000 hits now available. Here's how to get them. Send no money, no credit card is necessary. Just come to the 1992 National Radio Club Convention and listen to KNRC. KNRC, Omaha's new hot rock.
Hi, DXers and radio buffs. Welcome to Market Scope for June 1992, and I'm Phil Wayne, the guy that introduces this column every month. And speaking of introductions, Randy Jones is here for another visit from St. Augustine, Florida. Randy, what's our next stop on the Jacksonville dial?
9:30 is our next stop, and as of Monday, December the 9th, we have a new call, WNZS, in a new format, all sports, all the time. There's local sports talk shows and quite a bit of satellite delivered programming. Prior to that, the station was WRXJ, and for the last several years did a oldies format. Before that, it was WJAX, and WJAX originally was owned by the city of Jacksonville. I guess it came on in the 40s, and or maybe even earlier, and they kept the station, had an AM and FM station, and sold those off in the late 70s to private enterprise. So now we'll check in on the new sports format at 9:30.
Back in 1976, Florida State University desperately needed to turn its football program around.
There was still good physical ability at Florida State, but they did not think they could win. Now, that was a situation when I came in.
Bobby Bowden would teach the Seminoles how to win in a hurry. Find out how in Bobby Bowden, Building a Tradition, the sensational two-hour video cassette highlighting Coach Bowden's 15 amazing years as head man for FSU.
You know.
We're back on the sports buffet, and Andy was holding. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Listen, do you think the White Rat has a plan down there or what?
From what I heard was the Angels thought that everyone was, Whitey Herzog was doing a big favor to the Angels organization by coming and doing that.
The crack of the bat, the roar of the crowd, the thrill of victory,
yes.
The deep Hail Mary pass, the hole-in-one, the checkered flag, the new world's record, the perfect game.
Strike three.
From high salaries to first-round draft picks, it's Wins 930 Sports. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, round the clock and around the world. Wins 930 Sports brings it all to you first and in more detail than anybody else. College football, the NFL, the Atlanta Braves, the Olympic Games, only on Wins 930 Sports. WNZS, all sports, all the time. Weekday mornings, you'll find it all on Wins 930 Sports with David Lamb's Lamb at Large, Ron Barr Sports Byline USA at 10, The Steam Room with Bud Perillo at noon, Joe Chevrolet Sports Buffet at 3, and Jay Sullivan's award-winning Sports Huddle Daily at 5. All sports, all the time. WNZS, Wins 930 Sports.
Next, we go to 970 with the 1,000-watt traditional gospel station, country gospel, and some preaching. And just recently, this station added a talk format, a secular-type talk format show from noon until 2 about a year ago. This station started out as WOZN, and about 7 years ago, they changed the call to WVOJ.
Those are the Spears on 970 WVOJ, 22 minutes away from 4 o'clock. Here's Eddie Crook and his little instrumental, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
The next stop is 1010 on the dial. This station started back many years ago as a soft or easy listening format. So, like many of the AM stations and a lot of FMs, when FM first opened up, started as a beautiful music type. Then it changed to country and went country many years from the 60s and into the 70s. In fact, at one time it was gospel music until noon and then country music in the afternoon. Eventually it went country gospel. And today it's a blend of all type of religious program and music. They've applied to move their transmitting facilities to Baldwin, Florida, which is about 10 miles west of Jacksonville. They're currently at Jacksonville Beach, and go 50,000 watts. Here's the way WXTL 1010 sounds.
Life Radio 1010 AM WXTL Jacksonville Beach. Our time is 12 minutes in front of 4.
From the WXTL Weather Center.
Partly cloudy this afternoon. Tonight fair. Some patchy late night fog with overnight lows in the middle 40s. And tomorrow will be mostly sunny. Highs lower 70s. Right now it's turned out to be a pretty good day. Mostly sunny right now and 67 degrees here at Life Radio.
It's the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ presented by Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, a man that believes in the old-fashioned way.
This is one preacher that you're listening to. I not only believe that he saves, and that's the greatest miracle, but we also have seen, according to his word, that these signs shall follow them that believe.
Brother Ted Shuttlesworth each morning at 8:30 exclusively on WXTL.
Music now, a little Christmas music with Doug Oldham, and wise men still seek him.
1050 used to be the home of WQIK, an old call in Jacksonville, but today we find WROS, a 5,000 watt gospel and easy Christian type format station, originally put on the air by the Good News Broadcasters out of Oklahoma. Owned locally now, I believe, by WROS Incorporated in Jacksonville. And the manager is currently singing a song, playing his guitar. It has a lot of community and local flavor to it. This fellow that's on here has been in gospel broadcasting for a number of years. He used to be on the old WBIX.
Lord, give me strength. Give me courage, make me bold. That I'm always set at Radio 1050, the Rose of Jacksonville. When I get there, you know what I think the Lord would do? He'd just say, welcome home.
Welcome home, welcome home.
WROS, Jacksonville, Florida.
The next spot, 1170 on the dial, is a unique format here in St. Augustine because it's tourist information radio. I'm not sure of the current call, but it used to be WAIA, and we'll get to a little of that in just a moment. Right now, here's the way tourist information radio sounds.
We've been going through many fascinating exhibits in this recreation of a 1740s village, and now I'm standing in, I guess it must be the carpenter's or the woodworker's shop, and I see the man is using, what's that tool you're using?
It's called a spoke shave.
What is this? It looks like a wheelbarrow handle.
We have a wheelbarrow. The handle got broken, and I'm just making a new one.
I mentioned that this station was started as WAIA. Big Jacksonville broadcaster moved to St. Augustine and put this station on the air several years ago as a country format. And let's hear some of the very beginnings of WAIA.
Calls and requests, and depends on what they are, of course. Through the weeks and months coming ahead, we'll be going to be talking with the newsmakers around the nation's oldest city, and maybe from Jacksonville and Daytona Beach, and the folks that have something to say. If you have clubs, groups, organizations, fundraisers, things like that, we'll be glad to hear about those, of course, also. Our time right now, make it, just almost 15 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock, 6:15 on a Saturday morning, and we, of course, have more country music.
Running smack dab into St. Augustine, this is A1A Country, 1170.
The next spot, 1220, belongs to WKTZ. It comes in rather weak here, and we were unable to get a good copy for you to listen to, but they simulcast with their FM, WKTZ. It's owned by the Business College, and we'll cover that on the FM side of things. It originally came on many years ago as WDCJ. WJAX also had some time here for a couple of years under a big band format, and now we find it simulcasting, as I said, with their FM. The next station brings us back to St. Augustine, a locally owned station. 1240 WFOY started back here in the 40s, and it's had a couple of three changes. Shoal Broadcasting has owned it, has owned WFOY for the last 10 years after the death of Pat Bernard, the previous local owner. This has a talk format. It has had music through the years, but in the past several years, it has went talk primarily, a little bit of big band during drive time. And this also is the home of CBS News for our area.
I'm Ed Crane, CBS News.
J.C. Penney time is 4:06. This is WFOY 1240 AM.
We'll help you survive this thing called life. We're for the people.
Hello there, everybody. Hi, Chuck Carter for the people. 1-800-TALK-YES, the telephone number.
F60 takes us back to Palatka with a local country format again. The station is locally owned. They do a lot of local programming as far as carrying the Palatka ball games and so forth, high school games. But in the last month, they've started adding Rush Limbaugh. And then throughout the day, there is country.
Season's greetings to you from Dr. Maltby and Dr. Wall and all the staff, the Animal Medical Clinic on Krill Avenue.
We all hate to see local neighborhood businesses close here in Palatka.
First, Craig Carr, who has not won a contest yet this month on WIYD. You shall be the winner of a Whopper, fries, and soft drink from Burger King. Also qualify for your chance to win the computer giveaway from Ruby's Computer Place. 325-4555. Be the first correct caller. Win from Burger King and WIYD.
1280 is home for Black Gospel. Daytime, WSVE, formatted out of Virginia. This frequency years ago belonged to WQIK, 5,000 watts at the time. Also, WIVY has had a home here. And WEXI, which had the information news service that NBC had out in the mid-70s.
The lines are available now, and you can call in. And Crusade for Christ is ready to reach you. 1-804-624-6565. Bishop is ready.
Brother Willis, just before All you right. hit the first line, I almost forgot to make a very special, a very key announcement.
All right.
KFTH in Memphis, Tennessee will be changing its format. It is beyond our control. KFTH will be changing its format. We had to give up one of the stations, KFTH or WXSS. We chose to keep WXSS, and this will be the first 50,000 watt radio station
yes.
playing like gospel traditional music.
Amen.
1320 finds WQIK AM simulcasting with its FM, moved here several years ago from the 1050 spot. Actually, WQIK is 5,000 watts now. At one time in the 60s, for about 4 years, it was on 1090 as a 50,000 watt station. Call letters on this 1320 frequency include WVOJ, which was run here for over 20 years, owned by Gulf States Broadcasting out of Tampa area. WVOJ had a country format, and the call before that was WZOK.
WQIK, wrapping up another 12 continuous country favorites with Garth Brooks and Shameless. The format was George Strait from Chill of an Early Fall. Good afternoon.
afternoon. The time is 4:29. This is Mike McHale. We're going to kick off another Hit Kicker No Talk triple play coming up. We have Lori Morgan, Reba McIntyre, and Sammy Kershaw also on the way. Tonight is the last night for qualifying for the Hit Kicker Talent Contest at the Crazy Horse. Semifinals are coming up next Tuesday from 12 in Earl Country, FM 99, WQIK. Keep you out of trouble on the way home. Let's get a Road Ross traffic update to Hit a Kicker 99 at Air Boss Field.
1360 is another daytime black gospel station. WCGL, a call that stayed here many years, was WOBS, which programmed soul music. Between the soul and the black gospel, WCGL was briefly an easy listening
group called the Gospel Specials. Learn how to wait on him at exactly 28 and a half minutes now before the hour 5 o'clock. Right here from AM 1360, WCGL, Jacksonville's longtime friend. Good afternoon.
With Sister Frances Miner is with Sister Linda Stevenson.
Thank you, Randy. That puts the wraps on another Market Scope for another month. For the DX Audio Services, this is Phil Wayne. See you back here next month. And now, here he is, John Bowker.
WWJ Radio 1 in Detroit, where it all began.
And now, historical moments in radio.
WKRC Radio 55.
Hello again, everyone. This is John Bowker, and today I want to take you back to the end of 1933, when the regulations of the old Federal Radio Commission spelled out how stations would be assigned in the United States. They used a quota system based on population statistics taken from the 1930 census. Now here's how it worked. First, the country was divided into five zones of roughly equal population. Each zone contained a number of states in a part of the country where the total population of the collected states totaled about 28 million people. Now, for instance, Zone 1. That included all six states of New England, plus New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, the District of Columbia, and the Virgin Islands. That totaled about 28 million people in 1930. Zone 2 also totaled about 28 million people. It included the states of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. And so it went. Now, if someone applied to build a radio station, the Federal Radio Commission would assign a quota number to that station based on the requested power and frequency. Stations would be given as many as 5 quota points, or as few as 1/10 of a point. 5 points, for example, went to a station operating with at least 5,000 watts at night and on a channel where there would be no other station on the air at night. That same station, however, would be counted not with 5, but with only 4 quota points if it were in a sharing arrangement with another station on its channel at night, and the FRC rules went on to say that that other station would have to be at least 2,000 miles away. If the station was less than 2,000 miles, the quota count would be 3. I'd give you all the details, except they go on for 3 pages in the regulations. Oh, here, the lowest count station would be a 10-watt local station sharing with other stations on the same frequency at night, and its quota count was 1/10 of a point. Now, each of the 5 zones in the United States were given 80 quota points to be distributed among radio stations. Now, what that meant was this. Let's take an example. In Boston, if there were 2 50,000-watt clear channel stations and 4 such stations in New York City, plus another clear channel station in Schenectady and one in Buffalo, in Providence, Rochester, Hartford, Baltimore, and Washington, there would then be only 15 quota points left for all the other stations in those 10 states of Zone Number 1, and the District of Columbia and the Virgin Islands, too. Well, that wasn't going to work. This led, obviously, to a lot of sharing at night, since shared stations counted less in the quotas, as I explained. Obviously, this whole system didn't serve the public well, but because of the technology of the day, and keeping in mind that the main complaint had been interference between stations, this sure helped clean things up quickly. Just to give you a couple of examples how this actually worked, go back to 1933, and let's compare Shreveport, Louisiana with Tampa, Florida. Now, both are shipping ports, but of course Shreveport is more in the middle of things, and their quota of stations reached 3.8, compared with Tampa's 2.45. I'm counting stations, by the way, in both city suburbs for that quota count. And what's wrong? Well, as with any quota system, as time moved on, it didn't work. Stations in Shreveport failed. And at the same time, people in the Tampa Bay region were underserved by radio. Shreveport today in 1992 is the 130th largest U.S. market. Tampa Bay is 17th. Oh, you want to know what the station's worth that time? Sure. Shreveport, KRMD at 1310. That was a tenth of a point, by the way. KTBS at 1450, KWEA at 1210, KWKH at 850 on the dial. They shared at night, so they were only counted as 2.5 points. In Tampa, WMBR at 1370, WDAE at 1220, WSUN sharing with WFLA. They were, by the way, in Clearwater. Well, here it is June, and I see that KCMO in Kansas City is going to be celebrating its 56th birthday on June 10th. You know, I was looking back at a radio annual of 1948 and noted a full-page ad from KCMO. Their claim was that their mail came from 387 counties in the Midwest, plus they got mail from 20 other states, probably NRC members, but who knows. They were broadcasting with 50,000 watts. Their ad reads, one station, one spot on the dial, one set of call letters. Basic ABC for Mid-America. Happy birthday, KCMO. And for historical moments, this is John Bowker.
Thank you very much, John. It's time now for our musings from members. These are the thoughts of the NRC members and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club Incorporated. You got something on your mind, something to say? Give us a call today on the Action Line for National Radio Club DX Audio Service members only. Area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day.
Good morning, Fred, and all DX Audio Service subscribers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on May 4th at 1530 WCEG, Middleborough, Massachusetts, is now have the, they have an oldies format right now. I think it's called Cool Stereo 1530. It is on right now. And the Pawtucket Red Sox games are on WNBH New Bedford, WARA Attleboro, and WPEP in Taunton. That's what I was able to get last Sunday. That is all I have. Thank you.
Hello, this is Ray Rokita from Lansing, Michigan. I have the following information to pass along to you. WJR celebrates its 70th birthday this week. WHAK is now country music in Roger City at 960 on the AM dial. WOAP at 1080 in Owosso is satellite country. Also simulcast Channel 12 News from WJRT-TV, Flint, Michigan, noon and 6 p.m. WSJ in St. John's at 1580 is now country music. And continuous country on WMUS FM 107 in Muskegon. Thanks.
Hello, Fred and other DXers. This is Victor Schmidt from Silver Spring, Maryland, reporting. A few weeks ago on the high-tech show on WCBM radio, several people complained that they had trouble getting AM stations. A fellow called in and mentioned Harrington's. In their catalog, they have an OmniPut AM Select antenna. I just got one. It really does work, and I want to give you a brief demonstration. I have my radio set here for WHP in Harrisburg. I have trouble getting it because of WTOP. This is without the antenna. Now I'm going to use the antenna.
Angela's Wyatt resolution, they passed in the Pennsylvania State House today.
See how it brings it up? It costs $49.95, and for those who are interested in finding out more about this remarkable antenna, you can call 1-800-622-5221. It really does pull in stations. Thank you, and talk to you next month.
Hello, Fred. This is Pat Cassidy calling from Newcastle, Delaware. I continue to enjoy the magazine very much. I can hardly wait to get it. I wish it could be longer, too. One thing I'd like to ask the listeners again, if there's anybody in the Baltimore area that gets this magazine, have they ever heard WITH or WWIN off the air during the daytime? And if so, what did they get on that dial position in Baltimore? I'd really like to find out if that's true. Also, the gentleman who's doing the radio listings down there in South Florida, He's starting out to do a real great job, but he forgot to mention the station after 690, the dial position of that station. I'd like to know what that is. And I just want to thank you again, Fred, for all the good things you and your listeners come across with, and wish you all but nothing but the best. One thing I'd like to see done differently in the market scope, just for a while, see if anyone else would be interested in this too, would, instead of having a city-by-city market scope, is perhaps to have a state by state market scope. I know it'd be kind of hard to do in the larger states, but just to let people know what stations are on what frequencies in certain states, especially where you have stations that are on 1340, 1400, 1450, where you might have four or five different stations. That way, I think when people DX, they'll know what to listen for, and they'll know that it was listed. It's just an idea. Just like to know what you think about it, Fred, and what the other listeners might think. Thanks again for such a good magazine. Bye-bye.
Hi, Fred, members of the DX Audio Service. This is Don Wilkerson calling from West Virginia. Just to let you know that we've got another silent station, another casualty on the air, WKEG in Washington, Pennsylvania. For the last 2 weeks, they were running Monday through Friday the American Forum Network. And I noticed last Saturday they were not on. Well, they are gone now. So I don't know what's going to happen to them. Maybe I'll call and check up on them. We'll see you later. Enjoy the magazine as always. Bye now.
Fred and all Audio Service subscribers, Paul Burkhardt from Watertown, Massachusetts, welcoming my wife, Lucille, to the DX Audio Service. Welcome, Lou.
Hi, Fred and all of you people. It's really a pleasure to be a part of the DX Audio Service. It kind of makes, it gives one the feeling that they're riding along with you, John, as you go through the country and just zip up and down the dial. Anyway, I just want to make one observation, Fred, when you, when you were doing the, the
AM switch,
you mentioned a station in Liberty, Missouri, which was CKXL. I thought to believe that all these stations in Missouri begin with the call letter K. Anyway, if you want to note that when the next issue comes around. But anyway, it's really a pleasure being a part of the DX Audio Service. I just wanted to say a quick comment about the ratings that Laura McCusker gives. I think it's very interesting, and I find her to be a very pleasant person to listen to. Okay, that's all for now. Bye-bye.
So this is Tom Likens reporting for the DX Audio Service from Louisa, Kentucky, concerning radio station WVKY, and the station was purchased for a dollar, as Jerry had reported, by broadcast entrepreneur Walter May. Basically, what is happening, he has formed a network of stations in eastern Kentucky that he is putting together from Louisa on to Pikeville. He has a station in Pikeville, Prestonsburg. The station is going to go back on the air and join the network exclusively. This past Wednesday night, they were on the air testing briefly. There was no IDs or anything. The transmitter was on. They were broadcasting directly from the network, the Cincinnati ball game, the Reds. And we haven't heard any more about it. It's supposed to be back on the air possibly by the end of the month or any time. As soon as it's back on, we'll let you know. Thanks a lot.
All right. This is Tom Jackson from Rochelle. And I'd like to say to Jay in Nashville, hey, bravo, I agree with everything you said. I can't see sighted people getting those quarter-track players. And besides, they sound bad. I got a question. Why is it that... when you DX on some nights, you know your powerful stations like WLW and Cincinnati and all the big powerful stations come in good, and other nights they come in so bad. But yet these Spanish-speaking Mexican stations come in real good. Why is that? Keep up the good work, you guys. Thank you very much.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. I believe that the so-called twangy version of the national anthem that Paul Burkhardt mentioned may have been the national anthem as done by Jimi Hendrix on his guitar, which I've heard some stations play. Also, I believe that Jose Feliciano did do a version of the national anthem singing and playing the guitar. By the way, have you noticed how many stations don't play the national anthem anymore when they sign on and sign off? Fred, keep up the DX Audio Service. It's as good as ever.
Well, Audio Service members, Marty Rimpaugh here with an interesting problem.
How do you explain to either the FCC or the power company that you're having a serious problem with interference and you suspect that it's a TV, but it's not normal TVI? And they don't seem to want to take the problem seriously because nobody seems to listen to AM radio. I'd like some points because nobody seems to take me seriously, and I've had this annoying interference that is especially blatant in the upper part of the AM band, and I don't know if it's a TV with computer controls in it or what's going on that's radiating through the power lines, but just an interesting question, how to deal with the lax power company officials, etc. Anyway, that's all for now. See you guys later.
Morning, Fred. Paul Burkhardt from Watertown, Massachusetts. Today on here on Friday, May 15th. I'm looking for a copy of the Lay Preludes done by the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. That was a Franz Liszt recording, the one that was used on the Lone Ranger radio program during the 1940s and 50s. If anybody has a copy of that full-length piece, give me a call at 617-924-7197, or you can write to me at 100 Warren Street, Apartment B401, Watertown, Massachusetts, 02172. Thank you.
Mark Marino from Lawndale. I just wanted to say that AM 950 XEKAM has been off the air since April 14th, and they were running talk show tapes for a couple of months. I don't know what happened. Also, today we did not hear 960 KQKL out of Apple Valley. I don't know if it's a temporary thing or if it's been suspended. I would like to place my vote against the four-track tapes of DX Audio Service. I'd rather see it remain the same length and go four-track. Almost every four-track tape or magazine that I have is poor quality, the exception being some Library of Congress tapes are okay, but I have never liked four-track since 1979, and I probably never will. Bye for now.
Hello, Fred. Dale Hamm, Birmingham, Alabama. This is the 18th of May, 1992. I'm hearing a station on 1260. Their format is country music, and it's at night. It's a little after 10 p.m. And what's the call letters of the station? It's too weak to copy here, but I'm just wondering, anybody knows who the station is? It's on the nighttime on 1260 that has a country-type music format. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Fred. This is Rod Moog from Austin, Texas, on the road here in New York State. First of all, KTON 940 in Belton, Texas, is on the air. I'm not sure if they were off. I didn't have a chance to call them before I came up here. Secondly, Chow Radio in Toronto is operating still on 790 and 530 simulcasting. Their English announcements are announcing 790 with a test transmission on 530. But in Italian and the other languages, they're announcing 5:30. Also, a WPIE near Ithaca was nearly off the air. They were on a very low power for the last couple of days, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, due to lightning damage. Reporting from a trip to the Detroit area back in March, WCHB has moved to 1200 kilohertz. On March 19, I heard them testing music, no IDs, and just killed the carrier in the middle of a song. But on the 21st and 22nd, they were operating normally with IDs and full format and not giving any indication that they were newly moved to the frequency. But as far as I know, they were. Others may have reported this, but I wanted to make sure it got in, albeit a little belatedly. Congratulations on the KB8 BMQ repeater. I'll hope to work it next time I'm in Ohio. Ciao.
Hello,
This is the KB8 BMQ repeater.
And there you go, Professor Moog. There's the KB8 BMQ repeater itself, located here in Allen County, Ohio. If you're driving along I-75 north-south or east-west on 30, you might want to just drop me a card or a letter and a couple of weeks ahead of time and let me know when you'd be coming through. The repeater is set up with a 2-meter and 6-meter remote base on it. So what we can do is get a schedule on, say, 2 meters or something simplex and be able to carry on a long conversation there as you're motoring through Allen County, Ohio. The repeater is on 443-625, and to those of you that hear that little hum in the background, that's called a PL tone. We transmit that all the time just so that it will open up those of us who have radios in the area that have PL built into them. It'll open up our radios so that we can monitor the frequency, because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just park that on a 2-meter or 6-meter simplex frequency when the band is open and just see what we can get in there. And I've gleaned about 7 or 8 QSL cards off some pretty decent FMDX. So it seems to be working good, and I must congratulate DX Audio Service member John Glass out of Advanced Computer Controls for helping us out and setting up the base station and the DVR and everything. And if that voice sounds familiar, listen to the voice one more time.
This is the 443.625 repeater in Allen County, Ohio, KB8 BMQ.
Charles Ray up in Leamington, Ontario. If you don't recognize that voice, shame on you. But for those of you that might not, dig out your October 90 DX Audio Service tape and listen to this.
Special hello to John Bowker from CHYR 730, Canada's most southerly radio.
The announcer there is Heidi Tetzoff from CHYR in Leamington, Ontario. Heidi, I shouldn't have interrupted you, because if I would interrupt you on the repeater, you'd come back and say something to me, wouldn't you?
Excuse me. It's not polite to interrupt a lady.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's a fun little repeater we have there. And some of the IDs are even recorded in French. And one of these days I'll have to get a hold of Tim Hendel and have him record me several IDs in Spanish. Kind of throws the local guys off every so often to hear something like that come up. And speaking of Tim, I wholly agree with you on the national anthem. I don't know why a lot of radio stations don't play the national anthem at sign-on or sign-off. The only real excuse I guess I could find is if you're a 24-hour-a-day station, it wouldn't make any sense. But for some of these stations that sign on, such as one of our local stations signs on in the air at 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't see any reason why they can't sign on at 4:58 and play the national anthem. So, well, so be it. And speaking of national anthem, if anyone has a copy of the Canadian national anthem on CD or a good quality vinyl, what I'd like to do is get a copy of it. And if you can, just send it to the DX Audio Service headquarters via insured UPS. I'll make a copy over to tape and send it right back to you right away. In fact, if you want some of my collection of anthems and patriotic themes, I'll even put those on a tape and send them back to you. And I'd like to welcome Lucille and Paul on the action line. Lucille, howdy. And yes, you did catch us there in an error on that call sign. To my knowledge, there are no C call signs assigned in the United States. There are a couple K and W's which flip-flop the Mississippi River, which is, it seems to be kind of the dividing line there for the two different call signs. However, here's a trivia question for all of you, and if you want to answer on the next DX Audio Service, maybe you know the answer. There is one K call sign which was accidentally assigned by the FCC and was never retracted in the state of Michigan. That has to be, with the exception of like KDKA and some of the old stations, that has to be the most easterly K call sign in recent assignment. And if you know what that is, know what the call sign is in the City of License, why don't you, on your next muse, give us a call and let us know. To Tom Jackson on your WLW propagation, that is a condition which is known as auroral conditions. And what happens is a lot of times is the sky wave shifts and will favor the southern stations more prevalently than some of the east and west. And I've seen that happen a couple of times. In fact, the general manager up at CHYR and I are good friends, and he's told me a couple of times in Leamington that the 710 in Cuba which is, I think, Radio Rebelde. That station will actually be heard on 710 within 20 miles of CHYR 710 transmitter while they're on the air. It can be that strong. And there has been some real interesting conditions from time to time. It's hard to predict, but when it opens up, boy, you can hear some fantastic stuff. I logged a 250-watt station out of Florida one time just because of one of those conditions. And in fact, when you hear Cuba rolling in on, say, 640 or 670 or, you know, beating up against some of the clears on the 600, 640, 650, 660, 670, you know the conditions favor the south there, and you might want to try for a few southern stations. There has been a couple conditions where that opens up a little bit to the east and west. In fact, one of them I know, which is kind of a decent catch here in the eastern side of the United States, is try listening for Algeria on 891. They'll beat up WLS sometimes, you know, with a 1 kilohertz het, and that's an impressive catch. I don't know if anyone's ever got a very out of them, but you know, what the heck. And finally, to Marty Rimpaugh out there in California. Marty, I don't know what kind of interference you have. What I've had from time to time is what's called a bell insulator up on a telephone pole will open up or crack, and it starts to arc. And what that is, it's just intermittent, you know, just cracking every so often. Usually it nails me on the 20-meter amateur radio band or 15 meters or 10. But it does cause some problems into broadcast band. There are several types of interference, which maybe I can demonstrate here for you. First of all, as far as video monitor interference, say off a computer monitor, it can sound like this. Okay, now there's 610 WTVN. Now I'm going to move the radio closer to the monitor. And then back away. And as you can see, it kind of blacked out the whole entire transmission there. Now, let's try it again, except this time what we're going to do is turn off the monitor, and you'll hear the CPU, which is the actual computer unit. And back away from it. Now, as far as dealing with it and notifying different people, I'll tell you what I would do in my position here and what I have had to do from time to time is I will make a phone call to the local power company, explain the situation to them and what it's doing to me, and ask for their assistance in tracking it down. If you don't get too much action, then what I'd do is I'd start letters. I'd write a letter and keep copy of it. It's like the old Bruce Williams story about be sure everything is in writing. Because if you don't get any action from the letter, then you can also take that letter and make a second request to the power company with a carbon copy to the Federal Communications Commission requesting, you know, some assistance in trying to track down the interference. But I would carry it on personally in letter form just to be sure and just to make sure that they get the point that you want something done about the interference. And that's just about it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for June 1992. I'd like to remind you that you should be putting down your questions that you have for me on the DX Audio Service or anything that goes on here within a 300-square-foot area of the studio. And we're going to be doing After Dark number 3 very soon. Write down your questions on a piece of paper, and then when we let you know we're going into production, then what you can do is read them off onto a cassette and send them to us. That way you get to ask the question. We'll try to answer them on After Dark number 3. That's it for this edition. We'll go back to an old tradition that we had a while back, which we should actually start bringing this up again, start doing this again. And that's conclude each DX Audio Service with a sign-off. I got this one here that Phil Wayne gave me from a while back. And station, which was a big, heavy, hardcore rocker down in Cincinnati. And what is it now, Phil? I think it's either Big Bands or something. I can't even remember what it is. I can't even hear it up here to save my soul. Anyways, that's it for this edition. We'll see you in 30 days. Bye.
This is WUBE Radio, 1230 kilocycles in Cincinnati, Ohio, conducting equipment and maintenance tests. WUBE will resume regular programming shortly.
WUBE, Cincinnati.